Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes people will see me sometime in the morning or maybe even in the afternoon and say, "How's it going?" And an answer that I give from time to time is, "Going all right. I haven't gotten in trouble yet today." So as long as I'm not in trouble, I guess it's a good day. Sometimes people say, "How's it going at Emmaus?" I'll say, "Well, they haven't fired me and we haven't closed. So I guess it's all right." That's kind of a low level of whether things are really going well or not. Peter got in trouble. Can you believe it? I imagine you could believe Peter got in trouble with Jesus when he denied him three times and then had to say three times, "Yes, Lord, I love you," one for each one of them, both times by a fire. Jesus says, "I'm going to get you to undo what you said." But now Peter gets in trouble for something else, not for doing something wrong, but for doing something very, very right and very, very different. When about 15 years ago, I was asked to do a pre-Lenten retreat down in Florida. So to spend from 1 o'clock one day until noon the next day with pastors and prepare people in the Florida, Georgia district who were able to come, so that they would have a Lenten series, and I believe it was the one on the Gospel of John. It might have been the one on Jeremiah, but I think it was the one on John that we used this year. And then I had a student, Mark Frith, who asked me if I would come and do one of my Cross Eyes, Tomb Vision, and Holy Blind Spots weekends. And that's where I would start on Friday evening and go all day Saturday until about supper time, and touch on the basics of every part of the scripture, talk about every single book, a little bit about what it would involve in terms of worship and evangelism and stewardship and pastoral care and all the kinds of things that a congregation does to lift out some insights along the way. And then we closed it with a narrative liturgy. I've done that from time to time, and I plan to do that sometime this summer as well, just to talk about what's going on during the different parts of the service. And because of that, it's kind of like maybe 10 different little sermonettes rather than one sermon. And as we went through that, I did want to have at least a little bit of a reflection on the readings for the day. And the reading for the epistle lesson was... I think it was an epistle lesson at that point, was this story about Peter and Cornelius. As Peter tells us, he was in Joppa, today known as Jaffa, one of the ports. You might know of Jaffa oranges. They're rather familiar and well-known in the Mideast. And so he is living by somebody there down by the sea. We don't know why, because right after he had... known that Jesus rose from the dead, he went back and he was fishing back up in the Galilee, but he's living there. And he's hungry, he's waiting for lunch, and he falls into a trance, and he sees this sheet come down with all sorts of unclean animals in it. And probably among them would be things like snakes, and things maybe like lions and tigers, who knows what. But probably the most well-known unclean animal for Jewish people was the pig. They were not to eat anything with pigs. I imagine all the people who really love bacon in absolutely everything today. I haven't heard of bacon coffee yet, but I imagine it's around somewhere. That would have been something that they would never have tasted, never had a pork chop, never had a ham sandwich, because they were to stay away from anything with pork. I'm not sure. I've read a lot of things about that was an animal that was unclean, maybe because it would easily bear disease. I've always thought, in addition, if you had sheep, you get wool. If you have cows, they help with milk, but also with plowing. If you have goats, they give you milk. But if you have a pig, Well, you'd have to kill it to get anything from it. To get anything good out of it, you'd have to kill it. If you have a chicken, you get the egg and the chicken keeps on living. But whatever the reasons for it, the Jewish people never ate unclean things. Peter said, I've lived the righteous kind of life. I've done everything that I'm supposed to. And in the vision, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. Have some of this. He's hungry. It's kind of like the version of Jesus out in the desert where he's told, well, turn some stones into bread. You're hungry, aren't you? Peter says, oh, no, no, no. I've never eaten anything unclean. And so he's told, nothing is unclean to God. Well, obviously, we're not talking about pigs and snakes. And so right after he gets done with this, somebody comes from Caesarea by the sea, up just a little, maybe 30, 40 miles to the north, where Caesar had built one of his ports. It's where many of you who know Karl Volz, that's where Karl did his archaeological work for many years. And so this centurion man, Cornelius, had seen a vision the day before. And he was an honorable person trying to live an honorable life and what they would call a God-fearer. And in a vision, he's told, send down and get this fellow Peter and have him come back. Well, not only wouldn't you eat any unclean meat that was used by other Gentile peoples, but also, if you were Jewish, you would never go into the home of a Gentile. You would stay away from that. That was just plain not to be done. And so the other side of the coin is when a centurion told you to do something, you did it. Normally, if it was carrying their bag, you'd only have to do that for a kilometer or so, and then you could get done with that. But Peter goes along with several others, and he comes into the house of Cornelius. Now, he's talking all of this again in Jerusalem after that had happened. And so he's beginning to get the idea, clean and unclean. That would be like talking about Jew and Gentile. The Romans certainly worshipped other gods and many of them, and you weren't going to go inside their house because you'd be acknowledging that you were in agreement with what worship they did. But Peter gets there and he says, yes, what can I do for you? And Cornelius says, well, you can tell me your story. He said, well, the only story I have is a story about Jesus who rose from the dead. And even Peter hasn't been thinking outside the box yet. He's thinking that there are beloved and there are foreigners. Beloved and foreigners. And Deuteronomy 32, verses 8 and 9 says that God assigned other divine beings to all the other nations, but kept Israel as his own beloved child. So that kind of runs the show, even though all the way through the Old Testament, there are also times when it talks about the fact that God would also bring Gentiles in to his kingdom. So anyway, here he is, and he tells that story. And the Holy Spirit that had breathed into Adam and Eve and thus gave life to the entire human family falls on them. They become believers. They say, that's good news. And they confess their faith and they're baptized right away after not a long period of instruction. Peter says, the Holy Spirit moved them to believe. So now he's defending himself to the Jews in Jerusalem who said, you didn't circumcise them, did you? You didn't do the right Jewish things first, did you? You just baptized them right away. Well, here's where my experience in Florida comes to play. I had been teaching the whole early part of that week I went down to Florida. I actually had really, really bad laryngitis, and so I only used one of those writing sheets for about three quarters of my class in Monticello. I didn't say a thing for the next day, and then I was talking pretty much for 2 days straight. And to be very honest with you, I had not thought about what I would say for that text from Cornelius. So the Lord gave me one. The Lord just gave me one. One of the neatest kind of things. Because what I said as I was talking about the text to that congregation was, the Jewish Christian leaders in Jerusalem said, you got to take the pig and make him a lamb and then make him a Christian lamb. First of all, you have to take the unbeliever and make him Jewish, and then you can make him Jewish Christian. And God says, no, there can be Christian pigs. You don't have to make them lambs first. You can make Christian pigs. That's all of us. We are all the unclean people. We are the people that even the early Christians were not thinking to bring the gospel. Said, go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They hadn't gotten it. And so as Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth in John 16. Wow, this was a real example of it. There had been a couple other examples. Philip had talked to the Ethiopian eunuch, and they had heard that there were other people in Samaria who had become Christian, but now we get someone from the Roman Empire, that hated, filthy bunch that you wouldn't even go in their house, no less have a meal with them, and now they are saved as well. Paul will understand the same thing when the jailer at Philippi hears the gospel. And one of the greatest switcheroos there, the Philippi jailer who sees this earthquake and people could have scattered everywhere, he says, what? Because Paul says to him, don't bother, you know, everybody's here. He says, what must I do to be saved? How do I keep my neck on? How do I keep my head on my neck, I should say, I guess. And Paul says, well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. We're not worried just about your head on your neck. We're worried about your eternal life. And he also is instructed and baptized. The good news, the gospel, the grace of God that is poured out gets poured out on all sorts of people. And so in a very interesting way, to God, there are no foreigners. There are no people outside of the grace. To us as well, therefore, as we look out in our world, not to judge people according to what we think they are, but to look at people according to what God has made them to be. Everybody has been saved and redeemed. Peter got summoned to go a place he would have never gone on his own, to tell the message that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. How about let's us do the same till we take our last breath? Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.